It's time for the Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by the Campo Family, helping Alaskans having fun in the outdoors since the 1940s. And now your host, Craig Campo.
Spokesperson on the radio, this lady, she said they want to ban fishing. She said fishing is cruel because fish have the same central nervous system as people, so they feel pain like us. She then went on to say, how would you like it if you were walking down the street and your lip was impaled and you're yanked out of this environment into a different environment where you couldn't breathe? And I started thinking, well, that would mean that you were a fish. Because people are way too smart, or we should be, and if we're not, maybe it's better that we're gone. Because if you're walking down the street with your buddies and you see some food on a hook, walk around it! I think we should be a little bit suspicious anyway if all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's a sandwich bobbing in front of us. We're worrying about way too many things. Sometimes we try so hard to worry, we end up worrying the wrong way. I overheard a couple guys talking about this 940-pound man. First guy goes, 940 pounds, that is too bad. The other guy goes, yeah, he almost made it to 1,000. And then I started thinking about the PETA lady, and if she was correct, there really was something out there fishing for humans. Could you imagine their surprise if they caught that guy? You know he would be mounted and hanging on a wall. Well, that there's your largemouth, big-bellied human. Yeah, I caught him on a turkey spinner. He almost pulled me out of the spaceship. I love fishing.
All right, well, a little fishing comedy for the start the show off. I love that whole idea there. That was pretty good. Anyway, we are on the Outdoor Show. It's Craig Campo. Another Saturday. We are into the holiday, Memorial Day weekend, and I just wanted to kick it off with some fishing fun, fishing humor. That time of year where we're gonna get our fishing poles out, get out there. You know, like on the lakes, the fishing's always best right when the ice goes out. I've done some phenomenal fishing even at Harding Lake, lake trout, char, pike, even while the ice is still on the lake. You got to be a little careful there. We had one year, we were out a little early, had to bust a little ice to get the boat in the water at the landing. But we got in there and we did some fishing, actually was doing good and kind of lost track of the ice, and all of a sudden we were surrounded by it. Big chunks of moving ice, and we literally, I was in my Sport John at the time with Bryce Weaver. We said, you know, this is kind of dangerous. It's gonna trap us here, and we got no way of getting out of here. So we found a little window of ice that we could jump. So we had a shot of clear water for a while. I cleared the jet, got the boat on step, punched it, and there we were. Got up on step, we jumped, got out into the main lake and got the hell out of there. So anyway, that's kind of what we did. Anyway, it's 2026, and I was thinking back about 10 years ago was a really tragic accident on the Good Pasture River involving a boat and some friends of ours that made a bad mistake. But it happens, you know, the excitement of the river and everything else. You just got to always be very conscious of your surroundings and dangers. And I remember my dad always telling me the story when he was on the Tanana River, when he was the head of the boat shop at Fort Greely, part of CRTC, Cold Region Test Center, and boating training and all that. And he got he was working on a motor on the back of the boat and told the GIs in the boat to keep an eye out for sweepers because the engine had conked out. So he's drifting down the Tanana, and they got to BS and weren't watching, and he's hanging over the transom, and a sweeper took him right off the boat. For those of you who are not sure what sweepers are, they're logs and root systems that protrude from the bank, often piled up logs, and just real dangerous because they can flip a boat real quick. In this case, it just took him off the boat. He had one of those, they called them Mae West vests. That's what they call them, the big-breasted inflatable vests on. And as soon as he hit the water, he got sucked under the log jam that took him off and up underneath, and it was holding him up. He couldn't breathe. He was holding his breath. Didn't have the strength to pull that inflated vest out. It was pushing him up against the bottom, and the current was holding him up. And pretty scary, I would imagine. Somehow my old man had the common sense and calmness to reach in his pocket with one hand. He was hanging on with the log with the other, found his little 6-inch Camp King knife, which I still own, flipped it open and popped the vest, which released the pressure, which let him swim out from under the log jam. But wow, just that whole half a minute to 2 minute, whatever it was, episode, it was stuck in my brain forever. It must have been etched in his, but he used it to train me. Every time we were on the Tanana, I pointed at sweepers and say, "Your boat ever dies, you want to paddle away from those." So it reminds, you know, it's a good point. But there was an incident in 2016. Tom Carter and I were up the Good Pasture River with a bunch of other friends, but we got up early. Our camp is about 20 or 30 minutes below Pogo Mine. We had some friends that worked at Pogo Mine, a man and his son. Son was, I don't know, in his late 30s or so, 40. The older man was in his mid-60s, just about my age. Anyway, they had a boat overloaded. Of course, you can't, even if you work at Pogo, you can't use the facility there to put a boat in the water. You got to put in the Delta Bridge and go 60, 80 miles up the river to get to where you're hunting. Anyway, this was going to be their last hunt. They had, the senior was about to retire. They were bought a place in Texas. They were just going to relax. And so they were going to have one more hunt. They'd hunted up there every year. We'd see them on the river. We'd stop and chat with them. Great people. Good family. They'd take the whole family. They had infant babies sometimes when they were up the river. It was kind of actually concerning considering the sweet, the windy, skinny river. You got to keep your eyes on the water. Can be pretty challenging at times. But anyway, Tom and I had gotten up real early and went up above the mine, and we were in a little, we walked back in and sat on this slough where there's a lot of moose tracks, and we were just waiting, being quiet for a couple hours, at least a couple hours. We sat there and drank coffee and talked about, what guys talk about, stuff. And we were, it was, like I said, we got up really early, and it was, we always like to travel just when you barely see, like 6:30 in September, you can just barely see the water. And so that's when the moose are coming down to the water typically. So that's when we're on the water. Anyway, we decided to come on downriver. In the meantime, this man and his son had got up to a bad spot we called the log jam. And we had warned them multiple times back at the shop, hey, when you get up there, because we know they go super heavy loaded. I mean, they are loaded for 2 weeks with gas and gear and tents and everything. And the two of them in the boat. And we said, just, you can get around it on the left. It's skinny. You may have to unload your freight, but you can on step. There's just enough water to snake around the left side of that log jam. It's really, really skinny, and you got to hit it just right. And they're a good boater. They know how to drive the boat. It was SJX. We both had SJX boats. And what happened was they got up to the log jam, and they saw an opening, it looks like, over on the right side. It looked like water. Well, it was a big tree down under the water with all kinds of fast-moving water and logs and big old log jam on the side of it. Well, what happened was they decided to try and punch it through, and they got through it. But as they got through it, they picked a stick up in the jet. Now they've got really, really fast water pushing them back into the log jam, which happens in about a half a second. And the boat flipped got wedged under the log jam. and both of them in the water. The younger one was able to get out of the water, climb up the boat, and grab his dad, and pull his dad up onto this floating log jam with holes in it and water bubbling through it and everything. And it sounds like, what from his story, he pulled him up, and then when he went to turn around to see him, his dad had fallen through the log jam and was hanging on to a log, and the son tried to grab him and hold him, and the force was just insane, and he's yelling it as loud as he can, and then it just sucked his dad down under the water, and his son, of course, started, in panic mode, obviously, who wouldn't be, looking everywhere for his dad. And about that time, he was getting really, really cold. This was probably, 20 minutes later, and he had to get out of these clothes, so he went and had the comments. He started a fire, got his clothes mostly off, put all his stuff out on the beach, and he had walked across the log jam back to the beach to he had to get warmed up so he could continue looking for his dad. And it's at that time we're coming down river on the boat. We were coming down the river, and I didn't see the boat because I'm staring at my line. It's a really technical run. There's a stick sticking out that was my landmark off this log jam, and I'm looking at this little gut of water that's about 4 inches deep and about a boat and a half width wide that you have to hug, that's on the right side of the log jam. And this guy is waving, and I'm not looking over there. Now, Tom, the guy in the boat, saw him. I never saw him. Tom may have said something. I was just focused on getting through this spot and avoiding the log jam. And as I went by him, he had a pistol, a handgun, and he had, as I'm approaching, he fired it in the air as a warning shot to stop me. We didn't hear it because of the noise of the boat and you're coming at it. And then right as I got past him and I'm about to make this tight left bend, I heard my name yelled. And I immediately turned over and looked at him, and there I see this half-naked guy, sopping wet, a fire is just getting started, and I knew exactly what happened at that moment. I chopped the throttle. I stopped. I said, "Where's your dad?" And he just shook his head no. And we got out of the boat, and we immediately, he wouldn't walk back over to the log jam. He said it's very dangerous over there. We just raced kind of hands and knees on it, trying to make sure we had maximum pressure on this floating log jam. And we walked out there and we looked and we couldn't see anything. We immediately, before that, I had my inReach, so we called called emergency services, and they text back and they say, "Are you sure this is an emergency?" Whatever, you confirm it. And about 20 minutes later, a Black Hawk helicopter arrives, sets down, a bend down. They come running up. We tell them what happened. And they searched. They had a limited crew, and they were interviewing the son, and we were looking everywhere for any sign of life. And we did that for 3 days. They brought in cadaver dogs. I ran up to Pogo and got a rescue team. Incidentally, the water was as shallow as we'd ever seen it. And I told the guys at Pogo, "You don't even want to come down here in your boat. I've run this stretch like 20 times in the last 10 days, more than that maybe, last week." I said, "You want to..." Just get in my boat. So we got seven of them, and we got them in the boat, and we got down there, and I had run back all the way down to, got the troopers from Central Creek, which was a little bit further down, 40 minutes downriver or something like that. And, it was pretty spooky. It was, I never did find the guy, but it tells you how fast things can happen bad. The boat, it just instantly flipped sideways and was wedged under this log jam with, I can't imagine the water pressure, the amount of water pressure against that boat. And everything floated downriver. And unfortunately, they found some clothing and items, but they never did find the man. And the river will do that. It'll trap you underwater. They had cadaver dogs. They searched it from the air. Anyway, so be safe out there, Fairbanks. Be safe when you're out on the water because bad things happen fast. Anyway, we're going to shift gears in the back half of the show. Stick around for the Compo Outdoor Show. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, KFARradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week, every hour, every day. Plus, 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to KFARradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back. We were talking about a tragedy on the river, and these tragedies are avoidable. The main thing you have to do is respect the water and respect the power of the water and be prepared and don't make decisions that you're unsure of. Stay away from sweepers. Have an anchor ready. Have your paddles ready. Have a stomp grate in your boat with a helm lever if you can, so you can get stuff out of the jet quickly. But the main thing is just try and make smart choices. Wear your life jackets, all that stuff. In some cases, even life jackets with the power of the water can make it non-effective. But anyway, with the weekend, you just want to remind people to be safe on the water. Especially with drinking, you know, people get drunk and make bad decisions, get, you know, out in the sun all day and you're drinking and, yeah, you got to just be careful, be smart so you live to boat another day, basically. Anyway, we're going to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about a subject that I'm kind of passionate about on the repeal side is ranked choice voting, which is, you know, we put that into law a cycle ago or two and realize how stupid it was for most people that don't follow it real close. It's just a confusing way to vote. There's nothing wrong with the one vote, one person, most votes wins. That's the way it's worked forever. It works good. They're trying to promote it. You know, they've got it all over California, ranked choice voting. What will that tell you? Alaska and Maine are the only two states that have it. There's quite a few states, a dozen or more states have banned it. And other states are just vulnerable to it. So there's a representative in Michigan, what's her name, Rachel Smith, and she was facing her political stance on display there, and letting the House Republicans letting them know about ranked choice voting. And it's just a couple, 3 minutes, and I just wanted to play it because it's coming up, and I want to talk about ranked choice voting in Alaska and how we need to vote yes. It's confusing again. It was confusing last time. They do it on purpose, but you have to vote yes now to repeal it. And I want to talk about a slogan and a little song I put together to get out there for the group. I offered it to them, and they want it. And it's just something you have to educate people early how to vote. People are just automatically confused by ranked choice voting anyway. And then when they get in the voting booth, it's just all these circles and ovals and how you have to do it. It's just stupid. It really is stupid. And so we have to get rid of it once and for all in Alaska. Let Maine and Suzanne Collins be the only state that has it. But anyway, this is Representative Rachel Smith talking about warning people in Michigan about it. And she brings up Alaska. So it's a couple minutes long. Listen to this.
Speaker recognizes Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise today to speak in favor of my legislation, House Bill 4707, which would prohibit ranked choice voting for the local, state, and federal elections. Ranked choice voting is a confusing and non-traditional form of voting that allows voters to rank candidates by preference rather than casting a ballot for a single candidate, thus violating the principle of one person, one vote. It's important to know that in this system of voting, if no candidate wins a majority of first place votes, the last place candidate are eliminated in rounds, and their votes are redistributed until somebody wins first place. As a result, RCV voting allows candidates to win who do not have the majority of the original first place votes. What Michigan citizens will end up with are politicians who most people do not want to be elected. This is not representation. This is a threat to democracy. That must be stopped. It is a process so convoluted and susceptible to thousands of mistakes that a winner is often not chosen until weeks after the election day. This has already happened in states and cities that have adopted RCV. The multiple rounds of tabulation, ranked choice votes, make that task of counting or recounting ballots an arduous one for any clerk or election worker who undertakes it. Thus, certifying an election will be a thing of the past. One can only begin to imagine how such a system is antithetical to the integrity of our elections. Only two states currently use ranked choice voting for statewide elections, Maine and Alaska. And I am told that there are big efforts in Alaska specifically to try to get rid of this system of voting that they have now. 16 states have prohibited the use of it, and all or in some elections. Furthermore, the legal status of ranked choice voting is uncertain in 26 states, including Michigan, that neither expressly permit nor prohibit its use. That's the reason for this legislation. Additionally, we just went through a massive overhaul of Michigan's elections process due to Proposal 2 of 2022. This required new equipment to be purchased at the local clerks and the local clerks to be retrained statewide, which added additional administrative and financial stress on many municipalities already struggling to fill vacancies. This legislation would ensure that we do not see further dramatic changes to our elections before the ink has even dried on the last massive set of changes. There are just a few, this is just a few reasons why I'm asking for your support of my legislation. Prohibiting ranked choice voting, we will ensure that the principles of one person, one vote continues, and we will avoid confusion and additional burdens to our already stressed election administrators. Thank you.
All right, so that's a representative in Michigan warning people about what happened to Alaska and the mess of ranked choice voting. And speaking of mess, we were at a fundraiser for the group that was that's trying to repeal it months ago, 6 months ago, I guess. And our message was we need to get that educated. You need a slogan. You need something to keep, to get it out there where people know which way to vote early. They're not confused by it. So we don't, because 15% of the people, I think, admitted they voted the wrong way because they didn't understand which way to vote last time. So it's really important, I think, that we get in front of this. It is a vote yes on two. And so while we were there, we had, Will Stapp was there amongst a bunch of other friends. And, we were talking about, we need a message, you know, we need a way to get the word out that people can remember. And, Will came up with a great one. It was stop the mess, vote yes. And I thought that was great because ranked choice voting is such a mess. And so with that in mind, I wrote a little song and I submitted it to to the group, and they're gonna use it on Facebook and everything. So this is called Stop the Mess. Stop the Mess, Just Vote Yes. That credit goes to Will Stapp, who came up with the slogan. I love it, and I think the group is going to use it. So with the help of AI, I put the little song together. It took all of about 5 minutes. I think they're going to use it on their Facebook page and some other stuff, and just try and get that jingle in people's heads. Stop the Mess, Just Vote Yes. So you'll probably hear that on the radio in abbreviated forms. I can make a 30 or 60 second spot out of it, and they'll use it on Facebook and other social media to try and get the word out. It really is important because it's screwed up. It really does affect the elections by, you know, making people extremely prepared to go into the voting booth, and most people aren't. They're in there to do their civic duty. They don't want to have to be a statistician or a psychic whatever. So anyway, Stop the Mess, Just Vote Yes. It's going to be on the ballot initiative. We need to get rid of it once and for all. Let California have it. Let Maine have it. Susan Collins deserves it. Obviously, you know how I feel about our side of this thing. But anyway, this has been the Outdoor Show with Craig Compu, talking a little boating, talking safety, talking elections, talking humor, just that kind of stuff. That's what we do here on a Saturday. I hope you enjoy it. As I'm speaking to you now, I'm fishing with my grandson on the Good Pasture River, doing what I love to do. But be safe out there. Enjoy yourself, Fairbanks. We'll see you next Saturday.
You have been listening to The Outdoor Show with Craig Compo on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on The Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.